Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And we also want to let you know that we're sponsored today by ZipRecruiter.com. No longer do you have to go to every single job recruitment site to post your job opening. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. They'll do it for you on all those sites, ZipRecruiter.com, and you can post jobs for free right now through this special free trial, ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. All right, on to the good martini. And Jim, I would hope that this is a good martini for not just conservatives, but for everyone. We reported earlier in the week that the Pentagon was actually seeking to get money back from California National Guard members who agreed to accept bonuses in exchange for additional combat time. The Pentagon discovered that they think they overpaid them. They wanted the money back. And obviously, that did not go over well with just about anybody, Republicans and Democrats, saying that's absolutely unacceptable. And yesterday, we got some good news on that front. This is the Politico version of the story. Defense Secretary Ash Carter has suspended collections and ordered a review of the process that's forcing members of the California National Guard to repay enlistment bonuses that may have been paid improperly. In a statement issued Wednesday, the Pentagon chief called the process, quote, unfair to service members and to taxpayers. First, I have ordered the Defense Finance and Accounting Service to suspend all efforts to collect reimbursement from affected California National Guard members, effective as soon as is practical. This suspension will continue until I'm satisfied that our process is working effectively. He also directed a Pentagon team to study the issue and establish a new process by the beginning of the new year to resolve the cases quickly and equitably. So, Jim, it doesn't sound like they're completely out of the woods, but it certainly sounds like the hue and cry from all sides of the political spectrum and even non-political people reached the ears of Ash Carter.
You know, Greg, if you overpay someone who seems underpaid and underappreciated, I think in most people's eyes, that kind of balances it out. In a world full of federal government waste, this is not where you need to claw back this money most of all. Generally, anything involving combat pay, you know what? Keep the change, guys. Go ahead. Keep the extra. We're not going to worry about that too much. You've earned it. Job well done. You'll give a little bit of credit to Ash Carter. You might argue maybe he's the best Secretary of Defense that Barack Obama has had, Greg. I mean, that's not
tough bar there, Jim. Tough bar.
But he seems reasonably professional. He makes a mistake. When he sees a mistake, he tries to fix it. And this was, you know, by the standards of the federal government, this was fast work. And it was, you know, the order is now, I believe, it was, you know, as soon as possible, cease and desist trying to get this money back. So well done, Ash Carter. It's nice to know there are still some isolated pockets of sanity in the federal government.
Yes, indeed. All right, on to the bad martini now. It's not necessarily entirely bad because we're learning more terrible things about the Clintons, and that aspect is good, that there's more transparency happening, although it's happening through hacking. This is Fox News. One of Bill Clinton's closest confidants outlined in a lengthy 2011 memo how he and another aide helped secure at least $50 million in speaking fees and other ventures for the former president, in addition to raising, quote, the bulk, unquote, of funds for the controversial Clinton Foundation. The 12-page memo from Doug Band. You might remember he and Chelsea Clinton had a little spat in a previous story that we did not too long ago. It was released Wednesday by WikiLeaks, and it was designed to highlight the crucial role that he and his global strategy company Teneo played in procuring money for the ex-president and Clinton's namesake foundation. One of the paragraphs, quote, throughout the past almost 11 years since President Clinton left office, I have sought to leverage my activities, including my partner role at Teneo, to support and to raise funds for the foundation. This memorandum strives to set forth how I have endeavored to support the Clinton Foundation and President Clinton personally. So basically, a lot of different ways that he's urging different companies, different governments to pay exorbitant speaking fees for Bill Clinton to come and show up in addition to the amounts that they're kicking into the Clinton Foundation. So, Jim, it's good that it's coming out, and it's just more head-scratching going on.
The favorite defense from Hillary Clinton and her campaign has been, look, we can't even authenticate these emails. We have no idea if we even got these emails. Never mind that we could check, or you'd think we would remember getting these sorts of emails, and we would, you know whether these are accurate or not. And oh, by the way, no one has said that any of these emails are not accurate. We have yet to find anything in there that looks fake. If they want to claim it for this one, too late. Taneo has already confirmed that, yes, that is an accurate memo by Doug Band. So this is basically the smoking gun. This is basically saying that everything we've always suspected about the Clinton Foundation. Do they want to do charitable work? Sure. But in the process of developing these friendly relationships with big business and powerful individuals, heads of state and things like that, then yeah, you know, they want some speaking fees on the side. And, you know, you develop this relationship and all of a sudden, yeah, you get a big speaking fee. And this, we're talking about millions of dollars. You know, and then of course, I also love this part, you know, the solicit and obtain in-kind services for personal travel, hospitality, vacation, and the like at no extra charge. There was a story that Bill Clinton used to never carry his wallet. And obviously, when you're president of the United States, you're not going to go down to the corner store and buy a quart of milk late at night. Obviously, there's a lot of circumstances in which the daily life of a president is different. But I don't know about you, and obviously when you're an ex-president, yeah, you're always going to have Secret Service with you. But you know, you'd figure at some point something resembling normal life would occur. Well, when you are a former president, people just pick up the fees for you. Personal travel, hospitality, vacation, this is all according to this memo. Don't worry, Mr. Clinton, we'll pick that up. Don't worry, that's on us. Don't worry. Now look, if Hillary Clinton is Secretary of State and you're giving her husband free stuff and she's not disclosing that, that does look begin to look a little bit like bribery, at the very least buying access, buying favoritism. We're going to give really big gifts to you. And nobody needs to know about this. The public doesn't need to know about this. Greg, you and I live in Virginia. We know the story of Bob McDonnell. I grew up in New Jersey. I know the story of Bob Torricelli. For some reason, it's people named Bob who tend to run into the problems. But you know, and you could even argue, looking back at Tim Kaine and Mark Warner, you know, Virginia has had ludicrously lenient rules for giving gifts to the governor as long as they file it in a disclosure form at the end of the year. So once a year, you get a look at that. No, lo and behold, someone gave the governor Redskins tickets. Somebody gave the governor a free vacation, set of golf clubs, you know, one gift after another. But it's not bribery because they disclosed it. And by the way, you know, for some case, that's what got Bob McDonnell in trouble. Not the taking of the gifts, but the failure to report the gifts. And I think a lot of people would say that's a rather fine line. Look, if you've looked at the Clinton Foundation and said, this is about benefiting the Clintons, this is not about helping poor people in Africa and things like that, this is about building relationships where they have their hands in everybody's pie, this is it, this is a smoking gun, this is a smoking memo. You know, in an ordinary campaign, this would destroy Hillary Clinton. This would destroy the reputation of the Clintons from A to Z, and Chelsea Clinton would never come back on NBC News or anything like that, and they would hide themselves from public life. They would be disgraced. So, Greg, you think our nominee is going to really go after on this?
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, he might, but he'll say, like, you know, they're all corrupt. No, no. It is good to quote the specifics, right? Do the preparation, Mr. Trump, and point out, quote the memo, saying which Band says that he and Justin Cooper yielded more than $30 million for Bill Clinton personally, right? And, you know, $66 million going to be paid out over the next 9 years should he choose to continue with the current engagements, right? $20 million in speeches came from his effort. Like, there are figures there. There are specifics there. This is what makes it carry weight. If you say, you know, Bill and Hillary, they're just so corrupt, people who already think Bill and Hillary are corrupt are going to agree with you. But you need to persuade the people who don't think this, or the people who are on the fence, or the people who are waving. And when you say, this is the memo, this is it, this is them saying that they're doing this in order to get these lucrative speaking fees, that this is the way of getting money into the pockets of the Clintons, not to the foundation, but into their own personal money accounts. This is how they do it. This gets it to carry more weight. And this is what I'd like to see the Republican nominee doing. There are 12 days remaining. I hope he does it, Greg. My hopes are not terribly high. So this is a good or bad martini, depending on how you're looking at it and how this shakes out over the next 2 weeks or so.
Jim, you think with Doug Band and this memo coming out, I don't know if he's really complaining here, but pointing out that he doesn't get paid for doing these extra things that help Bill Clinton rake in $30 million with $66 million more in the pipeline if he keeps all his engagements. And then the other email where he calls Chelsea the spoiled brat. Do you think there's some people staring at the walls when they're going past each other at the Clinton Foundation these days?
Am I crazy, Greg, for just the vibe you get from this is like, look, I deserve what I'm skimming off the top, but they don't deserve what they're skimming off the top. I'm doing all the work over here, you know. And, I'm sure Chelsea Clinton looked at this guy, Doug Band, and said, oh, this guy's a grifter. This guy's, you know, this guy's going to get mom and dad in trouble someday. And, you know, lo and behold, maybe, you know, I'm not here to pick sides, Greg. I'm willing to say they're both right.
It's so hard to find good help. Which brings us to ZipRecruiter, because the Clinton Foundation could be hiring, if they're even in existence soon. But are you hiring? Is your business hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can.
With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to more than 100 job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with just a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry from coast to coast. Just post once and you can watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast.
Did you know that over 1 million businesses have already used ZipRecruiter? Find out today why they have been used by that many businesses and the great results that they've received. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. So, Jim, on to the crazy martini now. And speaking of a guy who probably shouldn't have a job, but still does, I believe, at MIT of all places, Jonathan Gruber, the third Gruber brother, as we've mentioned, along with Hans and the one from the third Die Hard, Simon Peter, that's what it was. He has, of course, been busted a number of times for saying very different things to the public than he did to different groups along the way, saying that there wasn't supposed to be federal subsidies, saying that a lack of transparency is really important in getting this passed. Well, now some media outlets have dragged Jonathan Gruber out of the mothballs to have him explain, first of all, that he says actually the law is working great because more people have coverage now, so that's exactly what it was intended to do, and you can't knock people off their coverage for getting sick or deny it for pre-existing conditions. So then Carol Costello over at CNN says, hey, what about fixing the big problems with the healthcare premiums that we're seeing now that a lot of people can't afford? Get a load of this answer.
Look, once again, there's no sense in which this has to be fixed. The law's working as designed. However, it could work better. And I think probably the most important thing experts would agree on is that we need a larger mandate penalty. We have individuals who are essentially free riding on the system. They're essentially waiting until they get sick and they're getting health insurance. The whole idea of this plan, which was pioneered in Massachusetts, was that the individual mandate penalty would bring those people into the system and have them participate. The penalty right now is probably too low, and that's something I think ideally we would fix.
Jim, it's working exactly as we said. We told you your costs would go down. Now they're really going up really fast, but it's exactly what we expected.
I feel like somewhere McLean is driving down the freeway. It's a heist! They're trying to get more money out of people by raising the fees and the penalties for not having health insurance, for not buying on the exchanges that barely work. Or I could insert the, I guess I should do Rickman, you know, or whether Rickman or Jeremy Irons is the voice of the lesser Gruber brothers, who really were more amateur pikers when it comes to Jonathan Gruber. His way to hurt the country and make Americans pay through the nose. It was nefarious. It was ingenious. And it appears to be largely working. Kind of figured after his smug comments about the gullibility or the foolishness of the American people and the stupidity of the American voter, you figure he'd be ashamed to show his face in public, but he's not. And in fact, he's willing to say, yeah, the thing would just be even better if we just, you know, had higher penalties and people, you know, if we socked it to people even more for not being able to afford insurance. So well done. You know, hopefully at some point there'll be some sort of reaction to this. But so far, I think it's got to look pretty darn vindicating for critics of Obamacare. And, the good news is I don't think you'll see too many Republicans saying, oh, yeah, we just need higher penalties. Interesting question, but, you know, does Hillary Clinton think we should have higher penalties for not having health insurance?
She'd have to actually take a question to give an answer to that, but it's a very good one.
Last I saw her, she was taking a knee at the middle of the field. Not just during the not just during the national anthem.
Oh, that very good, very good. Couple thoughts here. First of all, Gruber saying the whole thing works, and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama saying if you get private insurance through your employer, it hasn't been affected at all. Yeah, tell that to employers across the board with the mandate. Secondly, Jim, on a very good piece of news here, I had heard a story that somebody was either quoting Jonathan Gruber or interviewing Jonathan Gruber, and they laughed about the rising premium, so I Googled Gruber premium laugh, and I couldn't find the video of that, but what I did see that came up was pictures of Hans Gruber laughing diabolically, I believe, right before he killed Takagi. So at least I got that enjoyment out of the morning.
There you go. There you go. We will run this gag into the ground for as long as Jonathan Gruber continues to torment American insurance purchasers.
Have a great day. We'll wrap up the week tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And remember to go to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. Join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.